This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Emma Vandenberg.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Emma, your name became famous in Palmerston North because of Emma's place.
It happened when we got our grandchildren. I was quite busy being an insurance agent, and so was Frank. And then we got two children on the doorstep, literally, a two-year-old, just over two, and a 10-month-old. So I couldn't go to work because those children were not going to leave.
So you brought up your two grandchildren?
Brought up the grandchildren, yeah. And they very soon called us Mum and Dad. But our friends would come because I couldn't leave. Some friends would come over. We did the Bates, and we did. I used to belong to Toastmistress. And so they'd come to our place.
Toastmistress was the...
Was like Toastmasters.
One time there was Toastmasters, but there was one...
Is Toastmistress.
It all mixed together now?
No, or no, they're still because separate? It became International Training in Communication. Like everything else, it fell apart. But the girls used to come for coffee, and they said, you know, this is the third time this week we're at your place for coffee. You should charge us. You should start a restaurant. It was a big house. So we laughed about it, but actually... It set the wheels in motion, and slowly but surely, Emma's place became a restaurant.
So, and you could cope with bringing up the two grandchildren while
yes. Well, I was tired. We were exhausted, but we Dutch your work.
Now another aspect though, grandparents bringing up grandchildren, was that normal at that time?
No, it was. I hate to say this, for white people, unusual.
Okay,
but. If
it's
you say, now, I say this now and then you'll find, well, we did, you know, people.
Yeah.
But it was quite common for Maori families to have been given either the first grandchild, I don't quite know what it was called, but there was something.
There was a sort of Maori adoption, I think.
But the
family.
Yeah, but the grandparents were the first one to get the first grandchild. I don't know, there was a thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, we ended up with the two grandies, and we brought them up.
Yeah.
And they came for the weekend, and we laughed because the weekend never stopped.
Yeah.
they just stayed forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then slowly but surely, we also bought the house next door and then another house at the back, and we had students.
Yeah.
And we started off with one or two students because it was a big house, 5 bedrooms, God.
So how did that happen?
Well, a hairdresser friend asked. I've got two hairdressing girls coming, and they live in Ohakuni.
Yeah.
It is so far away. Would you be willing to have two girls to stay? They can stay in the one room, and then they would pay a small amount of board.
Yeah. So you gave them meals as well? So
They lived there, so they became boarders.
Yeah.
And when they left, somebody else said, can I come and live there? And then another one and another one. So in the end, we had 3 houses, and every house was full of students.
So you were catering for all, you gave them...
In the end, we had, we started off with 2, 3, 4 students, and then we had about 15 in the 3 houses. And we did breakfast, dinner, bed and breakfast, no lunch.
Okay, yeah.
They make their own lunch because they're all university students.
Yeah.
And then it was word of mouth. We got it from all overseas students. We got lots and lots from Holland, Germany, Switzerland, you name it, from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got books and books with...
So they had kitchens in the other houses?
No, I did the cooking.
You did all the cooking? That was the basis of your restaurant as well, was it?
Well, might as well. If I can cook for 15, I might as well cook for 25 and then for 30 and then,
Okay.
And if you get people to cook in your rental property, basically, because they rented the rooms, it gets so messy and they burn stuff and then...
Yeah, yeah.
So the stoves were taken out.
Yeah.
And so the kitchen was their little community centre. We put fridges in there and microwaves so they could heat and eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was for taking their lunches, for making their lunches.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And so every room became a bedroom, basically. The lounge was a bedroom.
Yeah. Okay.
It was brilliant, because if you've got a three-bedroom house and in a lounge, that's already four students.
Yeah.
And then I think, depending on the size of the dining room, there was another room.
Yeah.
It was great. And then someone in the garage.
Yeah.
It grew.
Yeah.
It evolved.
Okay.
And so, in the end, we had three houses and all the backyards were connected.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, were there all sorts of health regulations that you needed then?
Not that I know of.
The even as a restaurant?
Never tried, never asked.
Cooking and
the health inspector would come.
Yeah.
And got a clean bill of health.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, so I just cooked and then we had a few people. We had to have a license to start the restaurant. By a license, I mean permission then from the city council.
Yes, yeah.
That wasn't easy to get, actually. And
but what, you could still feed all the students without needing
that's
a license,
as a public
restaurant?
Because they were not coming in from outside. Does that make sense? They were basically living in our house.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But to allow it for
from
public
health purposes, I can't see much difference.
No.
But in regulation,
but there are many things like that, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And we were surrounded by businesses.
Yeah.
And only one person complained, who lived in a rental house on Fitzherbert Avenue.
Yeah.
She said, well, I think there's going to be too much traffic and da-di-da.
Now, one thing, if you've got students living there and you give them an evening meal, you could give them all the same thing. But if you're running a restaurant, you need a menu.
You need more.
So was that a lot more complicated to do?
It became more and more complicated because Frank quite liked having lots of stuff on the menu.
Yeah.
But the vegetables, of course, were all basic.
Yeah.
By that I mean there was always the mashed potato, there's the kumara and the carrots and whatever.
Yeah.
And I made soups, lots of soup. Mm. And so once the restaurant opened, if you wanted a chicken Gordon Bleu, you still got the other normal vegetables to go with it.
Yeah.
So it was just some of the main things, but we did lots of entrees as well. But a lot of that stuff was, you know, bought frozen, like camembert, you know, the deep-fried camembert. Beautiful.
Yeah.
With the cranberry sauce. Well, I didn't make the cranberry sauce and I didn't make the
camembert.
So that was bought and then cooked. And that all went well.
Yeah. Now, one thing that they talk now a lot about food waste, which would be sort of things that, did you find with a restaurant, if you've got to have all the things on the menu ready for whatever happens?
Not a lot of food waste, because I had 15 students.
Yeah.
So sometimes they got the leftovers.
So whatever was left over, they give them. Yeah.
It wasn't.
That's a good way to go.
What would you call it? It wasn't what you call a five-star restaurant.
So they would eat after the restaurant closed,
they got fed first.
Oh, okay.
They eat first. And so they had to be in by 5.
Yeah.
And out by 6 or 6:15, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter if they were still there.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a lot of food waste. And we'd also said, if anybody comes in and says you wouldn't have a spare meal, we always said we'd feed them. Nobody ever came in to say you haven't got a free meal. Never happened.
Yeah.
That I found that kinky as well. That was interesting.
What, you mean you were giving free meals to people?
I would have, but
no one came in. They didn't know.
I didn't put a sign out saying free meals. Yeah. No. But you know how people say they sit on the side of the road, mind you, they normally smoke. Money for food. They don't want money for food.
Yeah.
They want money for cigarettes.
Yeah.
But I always thought, should somebody come to the door?
Yeah.
Front, back door, didn't matter. You haven't got a spare meal. I'm hungry. We would have come in and we'll feed you up. You know, no problem.
Yeah.
We never had that happen.
Yeah.
I thought that was strange.
Well, no.
Because everybody's
sure
always hungry and we can't afford.
But they might feel you can't ask for it, or you'd just be declined.
Well, once upon a time, it was quite normal. You had these people that walked all through New Zealand, and they would get food at the back of McDonald's.
Those were the stories I'd heard. Something like, if it's say, in a house in the country, if there's a stone on top of the gatepost or something, that indicates that the house is welcoming of
people. I don't know that. I don't know that. Yeah. But it was hard work, and after I don't know how many years we did it, I was getting tired.
Was it lucrative though? Paid lot?
No. Because, no, Frank wouldn't charge for coffee. We did, at the time, even today, you'd say you're joking, we did a three-course meal for $14.50.
Yeah.
Because we so-called gave the soup bus for free. That meant you were busy eating soup whilst I was preparing the meal.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't sit there waiting, so we gave you a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
Which you could pick. There was always different soups.
Yeah.
And then there was a dessert that you had to buy. And then there was coffee. And Frank wouldn't charge for the coffee. He said, no, because they'd like a coffee. I don't know.
Yeah. So did you have a really big kitchen with several stoves?
No, darling. This is like a normal kitchen. And then we knocked out the wall between the kitchen.
So hang on. With a normal size kitchen, you could feed all your 15 students
And Frank didn't believe. Oh, God, I didn't want to say this. Frank didn't believe in structural changes until a friend of mine walked in. I said, if this wall wasn't there, then the kitchen and the washhouse would become one.
Yeah.
He said, how serious are you? I said, oh, if only. He said, I've got the chainsaw in the car. And Frank was away. Yeah. And he just put the chainsaw through the cupboards.
Yeah. Brrr,
gone. Yeah. Brilliant. All of a sudden, we had a decent sized kitchen.
Yeah.
Kitchen and then the...
How many rings on the stove if you're cooking a range of meals?
Well, four, but then I got more, and then we had a big commercial deep fry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we only had one stove.
Yeah.
But it was the oven, and...
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had another wall. I had two wall ovens, a wall oven and the oven on the stove.
Okay.
And a deep fry. Yeah.
Yeah. And you do a fair bit of preparation during the
All
day,
the so preparation was done in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to. You can't do it whilst, So, like I said, I was a cook. I wasn't a chef.
Yeah.
But the meals were good, wholesome.
Yeah, good. Home cooking.
Home cooked meals,
And I tell you, it is actually a lot. If you're cooking for, I do sometimes 10 or 12 or whatever, that's no more effort than cooking for three.
And if all of a sudden I said, hang on, there's two more coming.
Yeah.
That'll work,
Yeah, yeah.
And I did.
So, what sort of dish you said you'd do? Some cordon bleu or.
Oh, some of the chicken cordon bleu. But again, that is the chicken breast filled with either.
Some cheese.
Garlic and stuff. You bought those and they were frozen, so they were deep fried.
Oh, okay. So you just get them, stick them in the fryer, and it's
dip those in the deep fryer whilst you did other things. But I did what they call a Dutch braised steak.
Yeah.
Which is a tray full of beautiful steak, but it is done in the oven.
Yeah.
And the steak melts in your mouth. It's just beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
And people started to like that. I also did the rookworst, the circular sausage, which is a smoked sausage.
Now you're drawing
sausage.
A great circle the size of a side plate, really. That's
and they got a whole one.
Oh, a long sausage that's curved round,
curved round and then tied together.
I'm with you.
It was a circle.
Yeah.
And they got that. Yeah. Mm. So we did some good things. And, of course, I did the roast pork.
Yeah.
And the roast lamb.
Yeah.
And that was cooked and then sliced.
Mm.
And then heated in the gravy.
Yeah.
So that it was always nice and fresh and and juicy. Okay.
So you could, so you could do all your roasts in the morning and then there's...
Yeah, the roasting, but but the roasting could have been done the day before already. I used to go through about four legs of lamb a week, but then I had the roast pork.
Yeah.
And then the beef. I never did much roast beef, a little bit, because I did it for the students. And I did, whatever you call that stuff, that you boil it,
corn silver side.
I did some of those, but not for the restaurant.
Yeah, okay.
But I did for the house guests,
Yeah.
Yeah. But man, it is hard work because you have to be up and about by 5:30, 6 in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then every morning they got, I know it got boring, but they got poached eggs on toast with something to go with it. I don't care if it was baked beans or ham or,
Okay.
And then on the weekends they got bacon and eggs.
Okay.
And if they want it, I did fried eggs. And I tell them, what do you want tomorrow? You want poached eggs or shall we do a fried for a change? Fried!
Yeah.
But poached eggs were easy to do.
Yes.
And then you could keep them hot, still soft, but in water. So you didn't, somebody's coming in, do another poached egg or another poached egg.
Yeah.
With 10 students coming in at the same time or three. You just scooped out the eggs ready done. It was great.
So you just keep them in warm water and they don't cook.
Pretty hot.
Hot water, nearly boiling water, but.
Yeah, so not but quite, they didn't cook.
Yeah.
They were cooked so that they were perfect.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a hard one.
Well, no, that's right.
I like to cut my poached egg and then it needs to run.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And some of them said, I want it well done, so.
I just got
it. They got the well done one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But basically, I was actually. When I think about it, very organized.
Yeah. Well, you have to be if you do something like that.
And then they make their own toast.
Yeah. And you did that for what, about 10 years, you said?
Oh, yeah, longer. Longer. Yeah, long time.
So with no days off at all?
No time off, no.
Yeah.
But every now and again we'd have a weekend and we'd had, because I can't do it all by myself anymore, so I had a cook come in. Not a chef, he was a cook. And so I'd take a weekend off because I wanted to be away for the weekend.
Yeah.
And then one day, the cook was said, you go and have a good time.
Yeah.
And then something happened and we had to come back home. Well, the whole restaurant was full of his family.
Yeah.
And I, well, he said, oh, I'll pay for all of that. I said, oh, yes, you will.
Yeah.
And then we found that they, you know, put water in the gin because we got a license, of course. Frank got the liquor license as well. But they were stealing us blind. No, we never made a lot of profit. No, but everybody was quite a happy happy time at Emma's place.
Yeah.
But there came a point where that's enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, and we had real estate agents once a week, a certain amount, and they'd come for breakfast.
Hmm.
And I said, I wonder what the place is worth if I were to sell it.
Hmm.
And Frank said, you don't want to sell it? I said, well, I'm getting a bit sick of it. So he must have heard me. He said, you want to know what the place is worth? I said, well, I wonder if we could sell it, what it'd be worth. So he just made a whole thing, and it was the three houses.
Mm.
The business, you couldn't sell. Mm. The business was useless. Yeah. You know, you can't, not like a going concern.
Yeah.
And then he said, what you should do is this, this, and this. And I said to Frank, you know what? I think it's time we did. And then he said, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
So we sold everything by auction. All these people, all these students, means that we had about 15 rooms. That means we had 15 televisions to sell. We had 15 beds to sell. You know, you name it. That was just amazing.
Yeah.
So everything was sold.
Okay.
Hundreds of knives and forks and God knows what.
Yeah. And now it's some sort of boarding.
No, it's
place.
Gone. The
it's
whole
gone
place
completed.
Was razed to the ground, and it is now called the Fitzherbert Regency Motel. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's a motel.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's taken two of the three houses.
Yeah.
And they're blocking in the BP service station will never get any bigger.
Yeah.
Because we had both of those. And then I think the neighbour bought the one at the back. Yeah.
But you would have been well known around town.
Well, everybody. Somebody the other day still said,
yeah,
I still miss Emma's place. And I went, oh, no.
So how long ago was it that you sold that?
It's now, I think, 20 years.
Yeah.
Because I think we lived approximately 16 years on Pioneer Highway. And I've already been here for three years.
Yeah. So, and you were living in a somewhat unusual house on Pioneer Highway, weren't you?
Funny house standing on the footpath almost,
Yeah.
And then, again, we had a big house, 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, but not much property. It was a great big double garage at the back. And we lived there for 16 years, and we took a few students with us.
Okay, yeah.
And we had some people that would come once a year for about 2 or 3 weeks from the milk place up the road. And they came this, and they helped us shift. And this, the funniest thing was that we had the huge big spare room upstairs, above the stairs, you know. And that's where they would like to do their homework. And they said, we're short of one table. So they went back to the restaurant place, was still swiped another table. So they all had a desk, you know. God, it was funny, But that, all that is, God, a long time ago. But once you start talking about it, and in the meantime, the kids are growing up. Both.
So how did they feel growing up in that sort of environment?
I mean, my little girl, Nicole, she was quite keen to help. And I think she was 6 or 7, and she'd say, I'll help do the dishes. And the eldest son, Paul, had made her a thing to stand on. So she stood in the kitchen doing dishes. She ran the place in the end, basically. Together with another 15 or 16 year old. Who loved it, you know. And all the girls that worked for us in Fitzherbert Avenue all came from the girls' high school, except one or two. One or two from our TEP, I think. But I used to go to the girls' high school and say, I need another couple of girls, or one. But they would send me 2 or 3. Well, I couldn't say, well, yes, you can come, but you can't. So we take them all, because it was all part-time. So they all did a couple hours or so a week. They all worked fine. And some one girl became quite a famous opera singer.
Annalise.
She worked.
She worked at Emma's place.
And she came with the school choir one morning for breakfast with the whole troupe, and they sang. That was fabulous.
Oh,
I
love it.
But there's some interesting people that came to work for us and then, carried on. But a lot of them in between. Be they cooks, be they chefs, be they... But, oh, you could get... This, whatever you call it, wins, or somebody wins from wins, you could get a work scheme. So I went there, and then you weren't allowed to say, I want a woman or I want a man. No, you weren't allowed. And I said, well, that is stupid, because you're going to send me people I'm going to send back. So anyway, I asked if possibly a woman. Mumble. They sent me a short, fat guy that he didn't fit in the bloody kitchen. And at some stage I got someone, and it was a lady, and she had to help in the kitchen and preparing and whatever. And she bit her fingernails. So she forever had the bloody hands in her mouth, didn't she? And I said, I went back to Wins, I said, will you please check? Yes, this time you did send a woman, but she bites her fingernails. Well, does it matter? I said, she's in a kitchen. Every time you put your hands in your hair, you have to go wash your hands. I said, you can't put gloves on her because, you know. Anyway, I said, so can you please check? Can you send someone that knows how to cook and that knows how to work hygienically? But worked in the end. But to send someone that's biting your fingernails and you want him to make sandwiches or do stuff with your food.
Do you think maybe people from through Wins would... did you get good people coming through there?
Oh, yeah, some. Oh, some. But, you know, I said, we've got a super small kitchen. So I can't have a bloke that's 100K. I'm not supposed to say that. I said, I know, but I'm telling you what it is like. So they send you an 120K bloke, Nicole, barely fit through the door, let alone behind the stove, and you still had to get past. It didn't work. It was a domestic kitchen. With a domestic, small wash house attached that became, with the kitchen sink all one, but it was still small. So then we got a tall, lanky one, and he was good, and he was friendly, and he was great, you know.
So did you find that with, especially I suppose with the students, some would stay 2-3 years with you?
No. All the students only came for 12 weeks or so, 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Because they all did come from overseas. They do a couple of
They were just sort of visiting and doing short courses.
The same now. You still have, and I had them still in Piney Highway. That's a different story. From Massey University only, and they were all Chinese and Japanese and God knows what. But at
we had some from Japan would come over for a month intensive course, but then some from Germany might come over for a semester.
Yeah,
and that, so it was that sort of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Okay. But a lot of them only stayed for. I've got books was all their
because I was going to say, do you have ongoing contact with some of those?
No, you can't.
No, not if there's so many.
There's still some, you know. Yeah. There's always still one or two that still send something. Oh, I saw you. There's an Indonesian man, and he calls us. What does he call me? Lovely Emma or something.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely Mama Emma. And he's, the man is a grandfather, still calls me Lovely Mama Emma. And if, you know, if I tick that I like something that he's put on Facebook, well, that's it. Boom. You get an avalanche of... So you got to keep away because there's too many. There's been too many. Yeah, you can't. But it has been an interesting life and I was glad I was out of it. But Frank and I had to take separate... Like days away.
Yes.
If I went away for I went away on a Saturday, on a Sunday and a Monday, and Frank might take Tuesday and Wednesday off, you know, or but because you couldn't really leave the place by itself.
Yes.
And when we had the little ones, that was okay because I would take the little ones.
Yeah.
And sometimes Frank would take the little ones. We still had a holiday every now and again, but not very often. It meant you had to leave.
Yeah.
Everything in the hands of someone else.
Well, it's a problem with a small business, isn't it? Yeah. It's always hanging over you.
And, a shop you
and
can close.
And then you've got all the accounts and everything to do and the tax returns. And
that was supposed to be Frank's job.
Yeah.
He did, but, you know, I never touched the paperwork.
Yeah.
And, that, I don't know if that became a mess or not. I've no idea. But Frank did tax returns for other people as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was his sideline. He did...
Yeah.
When we did insurance, he started doing tax returns as well.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.